Hey there. You're listening to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that formed and transformed them. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week on This Song, I'll be talking to Troy and Kara Bishop from the Austin hip-hop duo The Bishops. But before we get started, I want to ask that if you dig this episode, if you like this podcast, then please take a minute to leave a rating or a review on iTunes, or you can hit that light bulb if you're listening to us on NPR One. Ratings and reviews, they help people find this podcast, and they make all of us who work on it feel really, really good. So thank you in advance. Now to The Bishops. They're a sibling hip-hop group who've been releasing music together since 2016. They actually started out as a trio, made up of siblings Chris, Kara, and Troy Bishop. Chris recently left the group when he went off to college, though obviously the three remain tight, like they're brothers and sisters. Kara and Troy are moving forward as The Bishops. The music that they make mixes jazz and hip-hop and electronic elements, and it blends it with Kara's lovely vocals and Troy's laid-back raps, and they just released their first single as a duo. It's called Truffle Trap, and we've been playing it a ton here at KUTX, the radio station in Austin, Texas, where we make this podcast. And in fact, we're such big fans of The Bishops' music that we chose them as our Artist of the Month for May. So every month here at KUTX, we choose an Austin band to get hyper-focused on as our Artist of the Month. We have them come into Studio NA, which is our gorgeous live performance studio. They do a My KUTX guest DJ set. We play them a ton on the radio, and we let people know about their shows, and they come in and talk to me for this podcast. I spoke to Kara and Troy right after they'd recorded their My KUTX guest DJ set, and they told me about a song that helped them both when they were kids and that continues to inform how they approach their music.
So the song that we chose is Kid Cudi, Soundtrack to My Life.
Scotty, I've got some issues that nobody can see, and all of these emotions are pouring out of me. I bring them to the life in you. It's only right. This is the soundtrack to my life. The soundtrack to my life.
I was in sixth grade, whatever age you are in sixth grade. I was listening to, like, 50 Cent.
Yeah.
Like, I remember 50 Cent, Lil Wayne, and it wasn't like, so deep to the point where I felt like I could relate to it, like, a lot. We always watched, like, MTV, 106 and Park and all that stuff, and there's one episode where Kanye brought out Kid Cudi, because I think he signed him, and that's when we saw him. He actually rapped that verse from Soundtrack to My Life. He did, like, an acapella version, and then after, we just, like, looked him up and just, like, fell in love with his music.
Big ups to the drink. Keep up the good work out there. Now, we promised the audience a freestyle Cudi. Let's get it in.
Go ahead, Cudi.
Okay. I got 99 problems and they out chickens. Wish I was jigging, man. Carefree living, but I'm not Sean or Martin Louis. I'm that Cleveland dude rolling with the Brooklyn boy. You know how I be when you can't live in law. I control my own life. Charles was never in charge. No sitcom could tease Scott about the drama or even explain the troubles to Han and my mom. On Christmas time, my mom Christmas grind.
And what was it about Soundtrack to My Life that you heard that really spoke to you?
I don't know, I guess it was the first, like, hip-hop song that I felt that I could really relate to, almost, like, every line. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't about, like, I don't know, because I love hip-hop, but it's, like, I'm not selling drugs, I don't own a gun, nothing like that. And yeah. Not that all hip-hop is like that, most hip-hop's not even like that anymore, but it's just, like,
At the time,
like, yeah. The popular hip-hop that we're exposed to was a little bit like that.
Or about, like, women and stuff.
Yeah, or, like, just, like, there's some degrading stuff and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. at the time, like, we weren't exposed to, like, another alternative that was, like, so more relatable, you know, and Kid Cudi was, like, that for us.
And you said that you could relate to almost every line of that song, and I have to ask, because that song is, like, really, it's a very emotionally intense song.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically talking about his struggles with depression, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Was that something that you were feeling at the time?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. It was interesting growing up in, like, where I grew up in, like, North Austin and stuff.
Yeah, especially, like, being black.
Yeah, it was just, like, a little tricky to fit in, and it was a kind of a confusing time.
Yeah.
So it was, I mean, I don't know if I could say I was depressed, but I wasn't happy every single day.
Yeah, so it could feel like you had someone to relate to, yeah. Which I think was nice.
On Christmas time, my mom Christmas crying, got me most of what I wanted. How'd you do it, mom? Huh? She copped the toys I would play with in my room by myself. While he by himself, he got two older brothers, one hood, one good. Independent older sister kept me flying when she could, but they all didn't see the little bit of sadness in me.
I guess he made himself vulnerable.
He did, like, especially in hip hop. Like a him talking about his mental health like that.
Makes I feel like it's not normal.
It's okay to express it yourself.
Well, it's more normalized now, but I feel like just like usually like you're trying to talk about how like dope you are, like how fresh you are.
I got
how much money you got. How many racks?
I got cars.
Yeah, clothes.
I got chains.
Yeah. No.
But he's like, I got depression.
Yeah, he's like, I got depression. I got problems. I got. Like,
I got a lot of shenanigans going on.
I'm super paranoid, like a sixth sense. Since my father died, I ain't been right since. And I tried to piece the puzzle of the universe, split an eighth of shrooms just so I could see the universe. I try to think about myself as a sacrifice, just to show the kids they ain't the only ones who up at night. The moon will illuminate my room, and soon I'm consumed by my doom. Once upon a time, I don't know, it makes you feel like it's okay to be not okay, you know? So I think that's like, it's at the time, it's a very confusing time when you're just growing up, you know? It's like not always okay to be that emotional, it seems, in this society. So I guess that's dope. Or that's why it's like so empowering, or was, still is.
Do you think it's even more so for kids of color in white communities?
Like, for sure.
Like,
yeah. But I think all kids can connect to him. Because,
well, even that though, like, it's like in there are were like stereotypes. It's like,
yeah.
I guess it's like when you're like that black kid, you're supposed to be all the hip hop. Like, you're supposed to be those hip hop stereotypes that aren't good. Like, you're not Kid Cudi, you know? It's like you're 50 Cent or Lil Wayne. Like,
yeah.
You're fresh, mm-hmm. You're swaggy, you're turned up, blah, blah, blah. Like, kids, I don't know. I feel like kids want to believe that stuff is like real. So I guess that's why it felt good, because like Kid Cudi's like, no, like we're just people, like just like y'all. Mm-hmm. And it's like he wasn't like your stereotypical rap. So I think that was cool to be, it's okay to just be yourself, you know? So I feel like that was encouraging.
Ignorance to cope, man. Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is love, and I need that shit. If I never did show, then I'd probably be a myth. If I cared about the blog, then I'd probably be a jackass. Don't give a shit what people talking about, fam. Hate to shake my hand, but I keep the sanitizer on deck.
And I did have, like, I guess, like, mental health issues just because I had been diagnosed with arthritis at the time, which, like, can be hard, I guess, at that age. And so,
at any age.
Yeah. Kid Cudi made me feel like I had someone, like, and it felt good to listen to his music. So,
he's like a big brother.
Yeah, I feel like that's why I connected to him like a lot more than other artists at the time.
Wow, you had arthritis at 11?
Yeah, still do, going strong.
That must have been pretty lonely to be that young and to be dealing with something that usually people like in their later years deal with.
Yeah, but like he talks about being lonely in his songs and like getting through it, overcoming like challenges like that. And I think... that's what attracted me to his music.
I've got some issues that nobody can see, and all of these emotions are pouring out of me. I bring them to the life in you. It's only right. This is the soundtrack to my life. The soundtrack to my life. To my life. To my life.
And the sound was like,
okay. Yeah, and it just sounded,
it was different.
Yeah, it sounded good.
I mean, it wasn't just like your average, like hip hop beat. I feel like it was different, you know.
Yeah.
And the way he'd like sing too.
Yeah, it was actually almost sounds like a fusion between rock music and hip hop, which is popular nowadays. But back then, that was like 10 years ago. Like that wasn't like beats like that weren't that normal. Mm-hmm. And I think the beat has like guitar in it and all that stuff. Well, I feel like he was like one of the pioneers to do that, honestly.
And were you guys playing music when you were that age? Were you 12 and 11?
No, that was about a year before I started producing. Yeah. But I want to say, I feel like Kid Cudi honestly had a lot to do with it too, because I don't know, just to make something like that powerful has always been like a goal. So I think, I mean, if it was just like all the other music I listened to, I don't think I would have been that inspired to make music, because it's not as meaningful, I guess.
Like I said earlier, the Bishops started as a trio, their brother Chris being the third member. And even though he's no longer making music with Kara and Troy, his impact on the project is still undeniable.
If we're talking about our origin story, Chris pretty much made the Bishops. Like, yeah. He was, like, obsessed with hip-hop. Like, he was, like, a nerd for, like, hip-hop blogs. And, like, he would literally just do that all day, like, YouTube and, like, hip-hop blogs and all that stuff. And he kind of educated me, like, on... Like, he probably showed me Kid Cudi now I think about it. But he pushed me really hard when I first started producing. Like, I remember when we were in a band together one time, I quit because... He pushed me to my limit. Like, he was trying to teach me how to sample. So for Christmas one time, we wanted to get a sampler, but like we only like our budget was only so much for Christmas presents. So he sacrificed his Christmas present to get me this like sampler. Like this is like this keyboard, and it had like the pads on it, so I could like chop stuff up. And then, well, I didn't do any research ahead of time because I was like 12, so I was like, I don't know. And then like. We're all excited and like we get out of the box and stuff, and then I just don't know how to use this thing. Like, I didn't even know how to set it up. And he got so mad and I got so frustrated, and I tried, and then like I was like man, I quit, this sucks, blah 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 blah. And then I just like we broke up the band for a whole 48 hours. But that whole 48 hours I was binging YouTube tutorials, and I finally figured it out, and then we came back hard. We came back strong. That's like the origin of the Bishops. It's crazy because it was just, at first it was just me and Chris like just kind of messing around with music, because he had like a lot of knowledge of like hip hop and stuff. He's like a blogger almost.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kara didn't start out making music with her brothers, but after a couple of years, she found a way to become part of the group.
We didn't start making music together until I was like 15. Like, I was already, mm-hmm. I was a freshman in high school. I mean, she was writing songs. She was just kind of shy to show me.
Yeah.
So one night she just like sent me a voice memo of her. She recorded a song on her guitar in the bathroom. And she sent me a voice memo, and I heard it and I freaked out. I was like, yeah, I was like, what? Like, and it happened really fast after that, honestly, because I was like, we got to make music together as soon as I heard that. Mm. It was very spontaneous. Like,
yeah, and then he encouraged me to like keep writing, and so I started writing and stuff, and then we started recording music together. Not one, not two, but three. Bishop's blood runs so free. So bring the beat back to me,
and you can meet me in the ring with a three. Not one, not two, but three. So when you started writing music for the Bishops, you're together, you're pretty young, but it does seem like you guys have had a pretty clear vision for what you want to write about, mm-hmm. And the topics that you want to cover. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what you do lyrically is very open and very kind of vulnerable. Do you think that that has something to do with that Kid Cudi song?
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Whole album.
Yeah, when I write, I'm trying to express myself and feeling like I can let something like come out of myself that I wouldn't normally just like share with people, you know?
Yeah.
So like that's my time to express myself, and I think because of Kid Cudi, I like know that it's okay to do that in music, because at the time not many people were talking about their health, like mental health and stuff like that, or just like,
yeah, he's like a pioneer for that in hip-hop, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the your new single, Truffle Trap, that you just put out?
It's really important to us, because I guess this is the first single we've made since it's, like, just me and Kara now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of emotional in a way. It's, like, our first song, kind of, like, where we're, like, the new... It's, like, our new... It's the new Bishops, you know? Like, new and evolved. Like, because it's kind of a different thing now. Like, it's we're always rooted in, like, our past, and it always affects us. But it's, like, this is, like, a new era for us. So it's really, I guess it's like a very important song to us.
Truffle Trap to me is like, honestly, like when I first started making music, it was all for fun, and not that it's not for fun now, but like now it's starting to help pay my rent, you know? And so there's like a balance between wanting to do it just because you're wanting to express yourself, you're having fun doing it, and then the balance of like, oh, I need to pay my rent and I need to like
survive,
be successful from this in order to keep doing it. Like, and if I don't want to work a 9-to-5 and I want to do music, I'm gonna have to put my whole heart into it
and
go for it. And like that comes with like earning money, that comes with putting a roof above my head, that comes
and,
with feeding myself. And I think in the studio time, like.
And it's like a dangerous thing because
it is dangerous.
You can really lose your integrity if you don't, if you don't pay attention.
Yeah, like, and you're just trying to get the.
Because we want to be able to make a living off music, but we don't want to compromise our soul to do it. So that's kind of what it's about. That struggle between like holding on to your true identity and expression and your art and your soul, but at the same time, using this music as a tool to survive.
Yeah. They good, the honey, money, or we tell me what you need. Power, fame, fortune, tell me what you seek. What brings you to your knees? You want the cash flow, smoking dope, counting dough. All the girls up in the back, now they're putting on a show. Pour another round before you head out on the town. Confusion sets in, pop a perky, drown it out. You think the vision's grown bigger?
It sounds like part of what Truffle Trap is about the transition between making music as a kid and a child, mm-hmm. and making music as an adult. Yeah. Like when you're living in your parents' house, you can kind of like, it can be just for fun. But when you're an adult, you have to like make money.
Yeah, it's like this or a cubicle or something.
Do you think that it's obviously it's informed what you wrote for one of your songs, but has it changed the way that you approach music in general? Do you think?
A little bit. I mean, I feel like we're still true to ourselves. We always will be, but we're gonna, I don't know, we're about to try some things, some fun things.
Yeah.
As part of what you're gonna try, putting yourself out there more, being more vulnerable?
For sure.
Yeah. I'll always want to be vulnerable in songs because I know other people are too, and the fact that they are means we can connect to each other. And that's the point. Better let go before it withers. No way,
I think. These feelings flow like waves, sometimes I drown them out. Cause deep down in my soul, I know what life's about. I think I lost my faith. I've been blinded by the pain. All my days, I'm in a daze. Yeah, my mind is just a phase. But I'm never ever stressing, cause I got so many ways.
And this is Truffle Trap, the latest single from the Bishops. And I totally agree with Kara. Like, it's really all about connecting, right? And a good way to connect is to be vulnerable, to show people what's really happening with you so that they can feel empowered to stop hiding what's happening with them, right? It's what makes that Kid Cudi song so powerful. The Bishops have some stuff in the works, and I bet it's going to be great, though it's unclear exactly what it is. It could be an album. I'll post a link to their socials so you can follow them and find out exactly what's up when the rest of us do. You'll also find links to their MyKTX guest DJ set and their Studio 1A performance there, so you can really, like, get into the Bishops. And as always, you'll find a Spotify playlist on the show notes page where you can listen to all the songs we referenced in this episode all the way through. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced by Art Levy and me, Elizabeth McQueen. Thanks to our intern, Claire Hartwick, for her help with this podcast. And thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And yeah, it's true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. Right on. Thanks for listening.